that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine. Point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. Hear the shofar blasts? Come and join the Beth Messiah congregation as they celebrate Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, Monday, September the 17th at 5 p.m. at E.V. Rains Park in North Glen in the Blue Spruce and Ponderosa Pavilions. Special speaker will be Dr. Lance Thomas. Praise and worship music with the Mendez family. Bring a delicious food dish to share. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. See you September the 17th.
Well, here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Douglas Wissing. We're going to be talking about his book, Funding the Enemy. Now, when we talk about funding the enemy, why would you want to fund your enemy? Well, after all, you can't have a war unless you have an enemy, can you? Well, we can't have a war on terrorism unless we have terrorists out there to fight. And, of course, we could never restrict the freedom of the American people the way it is being restricted today, with some 30,000 drones being scheduled to be spying on the American people to protect us from the wicked terrorists. Well, without his background, I guess this morning, Douglas Wissing, I'm going to let him tell you this story, because when he first heard this concept, I think he was probably as skeptical as most of the people there in the listening audience. Douglas, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Please tell us
the
background
on your show
and what you found as you began to investigate what was really going on behind the scenes.
Well, I was embedded with U.S. troops in Afghanistan and in eastern Afghanistan, primarily along the Afghan-Pakistani border. And when I was out there with the troops, they began telling me that the United States government is wasting tens of billions of American taxpayer dollars each year on the war, on scandalously mismanaged aid and logistics contracts. And we'd be riding around in Taliban country in these enormous armored vehicles, and the soldiers would be telling me there was a toxic system that was connecting distracted American officials, private U.S. corporations, corrupt Afghan insiders, and the Taliban. The soldiers were telling me that we were funding our own enemy. They would say, we're financing both sides of this war. And at first, it really did sound preposterous. But when I got back and started digging into a mountain of U.S. documents, government documents, white papers, think tank reports, media reports, I realized that the soldiers were right. We're financing, the U.S. taxpayers are financing both sides of this war. This thing has gotten so systematized that there are Taliban business offices in Kabul and in Kandahar, where if you get a U.S. contract, your first stop is this business office where a Taliban engineer negotiates their take.
Why would we be doing that? Why would we be funding the very enemy we're supposedly fighting?
Well, it appears, based on the reports that I've investigated, is that we have such a confused strategy that has changed so many times. We have a culture of careerists, essentially, who rotate into Afghanistan, whether they're military officers or civilian employees, private development corporation employees, contractors. Everybody's rotating in really fast. Everybody is rotating in and out. It's an incredibly complicated society. There are 350 tribes. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sub-tribes and family groups. It's a very opaque tribal society. And no one's there long enough to figure out anything. They're just punching their ticket and moving on. And one of the ways they punch their ticket is to spend the money. It's called the burn rate. They have to burn the money to be able to move up the ladder, the career ladder, whatever it is. And the Afghans are very canny. They understood this. And so we got wrapped up into this toxic network where, as we know, Afghanistan is one of the most corrupt countries on earth. And we have essentially propped up a totally corrupt Afghan government, the Karzai government. And everybody was in on the take. I can tell you that, I met an intelligence officer out there, a man named Captain Douglas Seymour. We were out on a forward operating base in an eastern Afghanistan province called Logman. And it had just been a really tough series of days. Captain Seymour was exhausted. I think everybody was exhausted. There'd been attacks all the time. And when I was speaking with Captain Seymour, he's this big, burly guy. He'd been a former drug cop in Las Vegas. And we were standing outside a little plywood hut, what they call a bee hut. There's thousands, tens of thousands of these built all over Afghanistan by military industrial complexes like, businesses like KBR. And, we were standing outside there and Captain Seymour started talking and he was really voicing this incredibly cynical view that I heard time and time and time again in Afghanistan among the military, among the soldiers. And he said American casualties over at that point 8 years of war, that was below the number that was killed in military training. Captain Seymour said, this is a quote, he said, "The Afghans know just the right amount of fighting to keep us here. Not too many casualties or we'll bolt. Can't let peace break out or we'll lose interest. Just the right amount." And then he went on in this kind of jaded GI voice. And he said, "In this system, everybody wins." This is another quote. He says, "The military gets all these combat commands and combat patches. I get all this cool equipment. I started back when the Russians were the enemy. I never got all this cool equipment. The military industrial complex, they're making the money, all this stuff." And he pointed back to this little delaminating plywood hut that was falling down. He said, "What's that cost? $28,000? It's a playhouse. The government here, the Afghans, they're like the mafia, always getting their cut. The Taliban gets their cut. It's the perfect war. Everybody makes money." So I guess from my perspective, it's working out really well for everybody except the American taxpayer and the Afghan people. I mean, I think as we focus on our own casualties, it's important to remember that there's been more than 12,000 Afghan civilians who've been killed just since 2007. And there were a lot more killed prior to those years because we were calling in so many airstrikes.
And of course, but the military, why are they going along with this? Why are they fighting a war we're not trying to win? It's obvious we're not trying to win. We've lost how many? A couple of thousand American boys over there in Afghanistan? We have any
ideas? Men and women.
Yeah. Hold it. We'll be back in just a moment with Douglas Whitson. And if you have a question or comment, our number is 877-254-7524.
Dr. Stan Monteith will be the keynote speaker for the Good Neighbor Forum on September 15th from 7:45 a.m. until 4 p.m. at the Douglas County Fairgrounds, 500 Fairgrounds Drive, Castle Rock, Colorado, 80104. Registration is $18 for the individual and $35 for couples. Other speakers will focus on Obamacare, climate change, military's partnership with the Natural Conservative, and Army Corps of Engineers to take over Pinyon Canyon. For more information, call John at 970-215-3273.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
Well, Dr. Stan, I guess this morning, because the thing is actually over in Afghanistan there for a time. And Douglas, can we win this war? Will we win this war? Are we really trying to win the war? Or is it all simply a staged event? What's your impression?
Well, we're now in the 11th year of this war, and it's obvious there are a lot of beneficiaries of this war. We can run down the list: the military-industrial complex, the for-profit development corporations that are handling these billions of dollars of aid and development money that are flowing into Afghanistan. That's a veritable tsunami of aid and development money. The military itself, the civilian agencies that they can rotate their people in and out, and they can move up the ladder. Of course, the powerful Afghan insiders that are so remarkably corrupt and are squirreling so much money away in Dubai and other places. There's just lots and lots and lots of beneficiaries. I saw a quote the other day of a corporation that's making drones. You'd reference that. They say it's a gold rush for drones right now. There's a reason why it goes on. All of those people, the corporations all have lobbyists, and they know how to do things.
But we're losing our boys over there fighting a senseless war. We're not trying. We can't win the war. Nobody's been able to defeat Afghanistan going back to the time of Alexander the Great. I mean, you can go in, you can waste a lot of money. And what about the narcotics? My understanding is that one reason our boys are there, many times they're actually protecting the opium fields. We control the country. Why don't we just destroy all the opium fields?
Well, I think that's an interesting aspect of this. Of course, many people have noted that the Taliban had outlawed opium production, opium poppy production, in their last couple of years of being in power. And at the time that we invaded, poppy production was virtually at zero. And we, of course, allied with drug lords, warlords, to overthrow the Taliban. We outsourced our war, essentially, to those warlords that were part and parcel of the opium trade. And within a very brief period of years, Afghanistan was producing 90% of the world's opium, illegal opium. And that drug trade has been allowed to grow and persist in Afghanistan. And it, of course, is tied into the ruling, Afghan families. It's essentially a culture of opium. It's an economy. That is driven by opium, and it's completely tied into the power structure, and also helps finance the Taliban. But as people now understand, the primary source of Taliban funding is U.S. taxpayer dollars.
The primary funding of the Taliban movement is U.S. taxpayer dollars. I think that is the thrust of your book. I believe it. I believe that we've funded the enemy all along. After all, if you don't have an enemy, how can you have a war? And then, of course, justify ever more government control over the lives of the American people in the name of protecting us from the wicked enemy that we're funding. Doug, so isn't there a lot of disillusionment among our troops over there? Don't they realize that this whole thing is simply smoke and mirrors?
I'm finding increasing levels of frustration and cynicism among the soldiers. I talked to a Marine officer in southern Afghanistan not too long ago, and he said, among the Marines in Afghanistan, there's low morale. They say, this is such a waste of time. This is a drug and tribal war with the Pakistani and Iranian intelligence services involved. He said, on an operational level, they're saying, I'm going to go over there and try to not get my legs blown off. My nation will shut this down. That's the feeling of my fellow soldiers. And the Marine officer, he concluded by saying, the juice ain't worth the squeeze. And he, you know, I find among U.S. troops, development officers, others on the ground, they tell me that really the only way to end this excessive government waste is to get out of Afghanistan. This toxic system is just too deeply rooted. We're not really doing any good. We've spent, you know, $90-100 billion in aid and development money alone, and the estimates are that less than 10% of that money has actually made it to the Afghan people. Most of it's been wasted on corruption and grotesque money grabs by for-profit corporations. Let me give you an example of just kind of how these things work. On the aid and development side, there is a very common program is what's called a poultry development program, which is an agricultural development program for the Afghans. And let's not forget that Afghanistan is among the five poorest countries on the planet. People make about $400 a year. It's a calorie deficient society. Their caloric intake is such that in the winter, a lot of the country people are essentially slowly starving. And so agriculture, 90% of the population is connected to agriculture one way or another. So obviously agricultural development, if you really want to help the Afghan people, is the way to go. Now it took us, about 8 years to figure out that might be a good idea to focus on agriculture as opposed to all the other crazy development schemes that we put in there. But let's talk about the agricultural development stuff, which is probably the most promising of anything. And I met this British conflict zone development fellow. There are places you can go and actually get degrees in conflict zone development, post-conflict development. And this was a British guy. We were out in a forward operating base in a province called Ghazni, which is essentially a little Fort Apache. You're surrounded by big tall walls and razor wire, and there's a dirigible that is tethered over the base that has constant cameras because the insurgents are creeping up trying to attack the base, you know, as often as they can. So we're inside this base, and this British guy starts telling me about what he termed the Afghan chicken scam. Both USAID, USAID is the part of the State Department, is the agency that is responsible for distributing foreign aid around the world. And USAID has been a major problem in Afghanistan, as it is in many parts of the world. And he told me that both USAID and the military gave millions of dollars to Western development consultants for contracts to train Afghans, primarily females, primarily women, in basic poultry techniques. And the way it really worked is they would give contracts for millions of dollars to these Western companies, but most of that money really went away in overhead almost immediately, just got sucked up into expensive office buildings and everything else. It just went away. And finally, what typically happened after everybody got their cut, then they would start subcontracting it and subcontracting it. Everybody would take 20% and push it on down the line. And what would typically happen then by the end, there would be a sketchily trained Afghan subcontractor who would give a few days of chicken classes to a group of Afghan women who most often were paid to attend these classes. And then following the training, the women would get a flock of chickens and a rooster. So you're thinking, oh, well, you know, at least something's happening here. But things seldom go as planned in Afghanistan. In a pattern that followed many programs of this nature, most of the women quickly sold their free chickens in the marketplace, and the majority of the surviving chickens pretty soon died. This British guy, we're out on this fort, he's telling me about this, and he kind of glances around to make sure that no one was listening, and then he leaned in, and he told me out of the corner of his mouth that 80 to 90% of these incredibly expensive poultry development projects in Afghanistan have failed. 80 to 90% of them. He started talking about one particularly extravagant project, and he said, it would have been cheaper to have parachuted chickens out of an airplane with a year's worth of food.
And that's the tragedy. I mean, basically, government is totally inefficient in anything except killing. It's very good in killing, but other than developing economies, it does absolutely nothing. In fact, I just comment that certainly our government insisted on General Motors building the Volt, V-O-L-T, this battery-operated Chevrolet car, and they recently suspended, after spending hundreds of millions of dollars developing the car, they've said recently suspended producing any more cars because it can't sell those they already have. Government has no business in trying to actually encourage enterprise because it's totally inefficient. So how much money have we wasted on this chicken project? Do we have any idea? Does anybody really care how much money we're wasting?
You know, it does seem to me that we are somewhat oblivious to this. People are really having trouble connecting these billions of dollars that we have spent. The numbers fly around, but, you know, we probably spent a good $400 billion in Afghanistan. Again, it's a country of about 30 million people that make an average of $400 a year. It's a staggering amount of money. And the total bill, President Obama has referenced $1 trillion as the final bill on this thing. We just agreed to give the Afghans another $16 billion in aid and development money. A USAID official who's out in Afghanistan now, he's in southern Afghanistan. He emailed me, he said, you know, the $16 billion in new aid and commitment, and new aid commitment, it's like rewarding a naughty child. That's what he said. You know, we just keep pouring money in, and without a correct outcome. I think most people understand sacrifice, but you want to get something for it, and we're simply not.
Absolutely, and I think that is the great tragedy of the current time, is that basically we're not going to get anything out of it other than it's going to destroy our economy and impoverish the American people. We've wasted $1 trillion over there. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a debt of $16 trillion, and there's no way to pay that debt off. And it will continue because both political parties, both the Republicans and the Democrats, are going right along with the war. Well, basically, what needs to be done over there? You've been there. You've talked to the people. What do you think needs to be done, Douglas?
Well, I've had conversations with Representative Walter Jones, a Republican of North Carolina, who has been really active in resisting our continuation of our support in Afghanistan. And what I hear is that Congress has to be shamed into doing something. There are a number of congressmen and senators who understand this. They understand what's gone on. They see this malign system. They understand that something has to change. But the American public has got to pressure the congressmen. They do have to be shamed into doing things. We have to remember that these major corporations have a lot of lobbyists.
Hold that thought. Our number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524.
If the IRS has turned your life upside down, Ameristar Tax Centers has a free, no-obligation consultation just for you. With proven experience, our former IRS agents are licensed to contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help. So call for free information now.
800-519-6297. 800-519-6297. 800-519-6297.
If you're spending hard-earned money on supplements, you need to know about BioSuperfood because you're probably shortchanging yourself on nutrition and value. If you're buying products claiming to provide DNA protection from radiation, you're getting ripped off by inferior copycat products because there's no other product developed or researched like BioSuperfood. BioSuperfood is one complete superfood product that addresses radiation poisoning, allergies, arthritis, diabetes, high blood pressure, and other degenerative diseases. BioSuperfood helps digestion, decreases pain and inflammation, increases flexibility, improves heart health and brain function. It boosts your immune system and even inhibits the AIDS virus and cancerous cells. It's an antibacterial, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory. BioSuperfood is not another supplement. It's a whole food and contains over 5,000 nutrients. Call now and ask about your special discounts on your BioSuperfood purchase at 303-257-7576. That's 303-257-7576 or BioSuperfood@hotmail.com.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com. www.thefreedomnetwork.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, Dr. Dan, our guest this morning, Douglas Wissing, his book, Funding the Enemy. We're going to carry the book because we think it's important. Douglas, my understanding is the Taliban, certainly the word means student, the Taliban actually were the products of the radical Islamic schools over in Afghanistan that were funding by American tax dollars during the Afghan War. We put a great deal of money out on textbooks and schools for the Afghans to introduce this radical form of Islam. And, of course, that is the Taliban movement over there, this radical Islam, which really didn't exist until we began funding it. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty well documented and reported that the CIA during the Soviet-Afghan War essentially supported the Mujahideen, the radical Islamic fighters, who and helped set up the Islamic schools and provided textbooks that were certainly anti-Soviet, one could argue anti-Western. That's been pretty well documented. That was there were USAID contracts that went out that funded those textbooks and were used in the madrasas. Yeah, that's pretty much part of the record.
But the thing is, the average American doesn't understand that we not only are funding the enemy today, we created, in many respects, this enemy that we're fighting. That doesn't make any sense. How could our CIA officials have been so stupid as to create this radical Islamic movement?
Oh, you know, I mean, we've been in bed with some pretty naughty people for a long time, going back to Lucky Luciano, who the American authorities sprung out of prison so he could return to Sicily in World War II and organize the mafia to help our invasion.
Right.
We, of course, were instrumental in setting up the drug trade in the Golden Triangle during the war in Vietnam. That's all been heavily documented. And our role in setting up the opium trade in the Afghan-Pakistani borderlands has also been very well documented. Certainly our allegiances with these drug lords has been heavily documented.
And these are things which you and I know, and they're well documented, but to the average American, it just couldn't be true. And yet I fear that it is true. How are we going to get the American people to understand that we're wasting the very foundation of our economic stability on senseless wars that eventually are going to bankrupt America? There's just no way you can continue spending money you don't have. 43 cents out of every dollar the federal government spends today, it has to be borrowed. And, of course, you can't certainly bring prosperity simply by going further and further into debt. How are we going to get the American people to understand the futility of the war, the senselessness of it, stop this foolishness and try to preserve our nation? Because we can destroy our nation with senseless wars and the destruction of the wealth of this nation by sending it overseas to finance our enemies.
You know, the only answer I really have is the same one that many people have, is the American public has to become engaged in the issue and has to pressure their representatives. I simply, to elect people who will take that into account, who will get us out of some of this senseless adventurism that is essentially just funding our corporations, funding our elites, and funding the enemy.
And I think that's so important. Our telephone number, if you have a question for our guest this morning, 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. Douglas, what sort of response have you got?
I'm sorry, go ahead. Please say that again.
What sort of response have you gotten to your book?
You know, it's been a really remarkable response. The book has been embraced by a broad spectrum of people across the entire political spectrum. And the military, I have found that many members of the military have reached out to me saying that I really express something that's really the case. It's so many people in the military are concerned about this senseless use of both of our manpower and our blood, and they've encouraged me to continue to speak out about this because it's simply not working. It's really been a great response. There is I had mentioned Representative Walter Jones of North Carolina. He has been traveling the country with a large poster of the book cover and speaking to various groups, military groups, citizen groups, about the problem of what we're facing in Afghanistan. C-SPAN asked me to come on to their show and to, on their book TV network, they have something called Q&A, and they got a great response to that interview. I've spoken to, I've completely lost track. I've spoken to so many people and done so many interviews. People are really interested in this subject. The American people know it's not going right. The people that have soldiers in the military that are in Afghanistan, the soldiers are telling them. And people know we need to get out. I mean, let's not forget, this is a really horrifically bad government in Afghanistan. This is one of the most corrupt countries on earth. It's categorized as an authoritarian regime. It's ranked 150th out of 167 countries on a democracy scale. This is still one of the absolutely poorest places on earth, that with its completely unequal distribution of wealth. The beneficiaries there are some of the worst people we can imagine, warlords and drug lords, and this is simply the wrong thing to be doing. We've been engaged in this extraordinarily expensive counterinsurgency strategy in Afghanistan, and even within classic counterinsurgency strategy, it is essential that you have a strong local government, a strong national government to work with. And we simply don't. Within the classic counterinsurgency strategy, that is termed the North Star. And we have something that is as far away from that as you can imagine. So from the very beginning, while we committed ourselves to this extraordinarily expensive winning hearts and minds, the military calls it WHAM. You know, that's a term that goes back to the Vietnam War days. We were going to win their hearts and minds. And the military persists in using that phrase, except they have an acronym now, WHAM. WHAM, counterinsurgency, is extraordinarily expensive. Yet it's done almost nothing.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Our telephone number, 1-877-254-7524. If you have a question for our guest, please give us a call.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Hear the shofar blasts?
Come and join the Beth Messiah congregation as they celebrate Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, Monday, September the 17th at 5 p.m. at E.B. Raines Park in North Glen in the Blue Spruce and Ponderosa Pavilions. Special speaker will be Dr. Lance Thomas. Praise and worship music with the Mendez family. Bring a delicious food dish to share. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. See you September the 17th.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3.
Well, Dr. Stan, I guess this morning Douglas Lessing, his book, Funding the Enemy, we are going to carry the book. We think it's highly important, but Douglas, what can we do? I mean, we're told if we leave Afghanistan, it'll become chaotic, where we'll lose all the advantage, and all the men who've died there have died for nothing, and so we can't really pull out. At least this is what they tell us, certainly. Neither one of the political candidates is ready to say, we're going to leave and we're going to pull out now. Both candidates, no matter whether we get the Republican or the Democrat in, are going to continue the war.
Well, I think it's worth noting that within a month of the death of Osama bin Laden, American public opinion shifted dramatically with, for the first time, a majority, 56% of Americans, favoring bringing U.S. troops home as soon as possible. American public opinion has shifted dramatically. And yes, you're right. This has barely been an issue. And yet we're spending $2 billion a week in Afghanistan, $2.5 billion a week in Afghanistan, depending on who's counting. It's still just an enormous river of money. So it's, no one wants to be the president who, quote, lost Afghanistan. But the reality is Afghanistan's already been lost.
Absolutely. We fought a 10-year war in Vietnam. We lost that war. And we're doing the same thing in Afghanistan. And one of the... how are we ever going to get the American people to be willing to take a stand and say we're not going to put up with this foolishness? And when is the military going to say we're not going to fight your no-win wars?
Well, we are really fortunate in having a military that does adhere to civilian control, and I could see it time and time again out there. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates spoke very candidly about the shortcomings of the Iraq war and the shortcomings of the Afghanistan war, the mistakes of that. And I thought he did a great job in pointing out that the men and women on the ground in Afghanistan, the ones that are really suffering the ground truth of what happens in a war zone, what goes on, the prices that have to be paid. And I have to say, I was really amazed at how dedicated our soldiers, our men and women are out there in attempting to do an impossible task. But Secretary of Defense Gates pointed out, don't point the finger at those people. We need to focus on the failures and miscalculations at the top. Those are his words, the failures and miscalculations at the top. And, we continue to make really bad decisions. President Obama's surge was essentially putting the Bush plan on steroids. The mistakes were all there for anyone to see. And to just pour more money into it, it's a classic bureaucratic technique. There's a problem, so you claim it's important by pouring money. I was in meetings, civilian military meetings on the front lines in Afghanistan, where the emissaries would come from Washington proffering grotesque amounts of money for development in Afghanistan in this 13th century economy. And the soldiers, the commanders, the combat commanders would be telling them, don't send us more money. Send us people to administer these contracts. There's no oversight on these contracts. You're sending all this money, but there's no one to look after it. And the complications of trying to do contract oversight in a war zone is hilarious. Let's say, you know, the American people are paying to build schools in Afghanistan. What a nice idea. So we hand out these grotesquely large contracts, but there's no way to go check where the foundation's built correctly, because it's going to take a platoon of soldiers in a convoy of armored vehicles, each one of which costs $1.5 million, with attack helicopters hovering overhead to protect the convoy, to go check, you know, $5,000 worth of foundation work. And maybe somebody's going to get blown up in the meantime, and they can't do anything about it. So it's really an impossible task.
Well, not only that, but apparently the electronics for these IEDs, these explosive devices, are actually made here in the United States. These are radio-directed controlled explosive devices, and the electronics coming from America. Why don't we cut off the development of the electronics that's used to kill our boys over there?
It really is a difficult situation that we're in, and our soldiers are facing just a really complicated situation.
How is the morale among our soldiers over there?
I think they're focused on doing their duty. I think they're focused on trying to protect their fellow soldiers.
But do they really think they're fighting for America? Are we furthering America's goal and America's freedom? Are we protecting America by being over there, protecting the drug fields?
I think what I have heard is that soldiers fight for their fellow soldiers. And when you're in a war zone, you're kind of, that becomes your universe.
Sure.
And that's who you're fighting for. And you do fight for America, and you do fight for your family. But, you know, the world gets pretty small when you're out there. You form bonds that are quite remarkable.
I'm sure they do, and I'm sure they're brave and courageous young men. And are you going back over there?
Yeah, I am intending to go back in late fall. Some of the military units have invited me to return and to embed with them again. So that's what I'm planning on doing, probably to southern Afghanistan.
Well, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you on our other networks before you do that. God bless you, Douglas. Thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you for getting the truth out. Bye-bye.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching.
This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife, Danny, and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for Amikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywatchers.org. That's voiceofmanywatchers.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think that the interview you just heard was one of the most important ones you'll ever hear. Basically, who do you think is... Well, this is Dr. Stan. I think that the interview you just heard, one of the most important ones you'll ever hear. I mean, who do you think is guarding and promoting the growth of drugs over in Afghanistan? The Taliban had stopped it, and we destroyed the Taliban so we could get the drugs growing over there. Remember that most of the people in federal prisons are there because of the use of drugs, and yet our own government is promoting the drug war. We're protecting the opium fields over in Afghanistan, because after all, we want to promote the economy of that country, and so we're promoting the drugs. It doesn't make any sense. We're fighting a no-win war over there, and we're destroying this country because there's no way to destroy this nation than to destroy our economy, and they know exactly what they're doing. But there's nothing new about this. This is what we did in Vietnam. How do you think a little country the size of North Vietnam was able to fight America, the mightiest country in the world, for 8 or 9 years, and we lost that war? Why, we funded the North Vietnamese indirectly all during the Vietnam War. And if you've never seen my DVD, my interview with Professor Sutton, "The Best Enemies Money Could Buy," you need to get it. "The Best Enemies Money Could Buy." And all during the Vietnam War, we funded the Russians, who funded and supplied the supplies for North Vietnam that would be used to kill our boys. But the same thing happened during World War II. If you haven't heard our fourth CD set, "The War Against the Jews," goes into how we funded the Nazis all during the Second World War. American corporations, General Motors, General Electric, IBM, IT&T, our great banks, including Brown Brothers, Harriman, headed by George Herbert Walker and Herbert Walker Bush. Brown Brothers, Harriman, funded the Nazis both before and during the war. 10 American banks funding the Nazis. American corporations, headed by Americans, building the weapons used to kill our boys, not only before the war, but during the war. And you've never heard that. The book is called America's Nazi Secret. No major publisher in America would publish it, but it did get published. We carry the book, America's Nazi Secret, by John Loftus, who had a top security clearance, three levels above top security. But the last thing they want the American people to know is we funded the Nazis all during the Second World War, like we're funding the Taliban and Al-Qaeda at the present time. Ladies and gentlemen, if you doubt that, go onto the Internet and type in ISI funds Al-Qaeda. ISI funds Al-Qaeda. ISI is Pakistani intelligence. And when you've verified that, then write in CIA funds ISI. And the CIA is funding the ISI that's funding the Taliban that are, and the Al-Qaeda that are killing American boys today. We're funding the enemy. Are you concerned? Or are you more concerned about the football season? And remember, men and women become accomplices to the evil that they fail to oppose. We hope you'll get the items I mentioned, and of course get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need Brotherhood of Darkness. John Loftus's America's Nazi Secret, my 4-CD set, The War Against the Jews, which is my interviews with John Loftus, and then, of course, the DVD of The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. Remember, I will be there on the 15th of September. I hope you will be coming to the conference. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Good talking to you, Dr. Stan. I'm going to need to go.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause.